How you doing? That's a bit wet. How you doing? That's better. We have got wonderful new windows that lets in the light. And hopefully this morning, we're going to let God let in the light into our lives as well. Mark, could you pass those out to everyone? And Cole, yeah. Could you pass out one of those for everyone, please? These are not the giveaways. I've counted them. I want to move back, okay? And just to say, this morning's service is sponsored by Barclays. Right, what I'd like us to do to start off with is on your piece of paper and with your pen, I want you to write on top of the piece of paper what your front line is. Okay? Where you think your front line is. Just write it at the top of the piece of paper as it comes round. Okay? Okay, and when you've done that, leave a few lines. Leave a few lines, and then write on it your job description, your job title. Now, some of you might not have an official title. Just think about what you do on your front line and write in what you think covers that. I mean, my job title is commercial account executive. Very grand title. Basically, all it means is, if it's to do with commercial insurance, be it your office you want to insure, or your fleet of cars, or even an airfield, if it hits my desk, I deal with it. That's all it means, basically. Flash title, little pay, basically. So put your job title there, okay? So you've left a few lines, put your job title there. And then, underneath that, I want you to write three things that you do as part of your job, as part of your role. Okay? Okay, we're going to come back to that near the end. Now, I wonder if you've been watching the news, looking at the headlines over the past few weeks and weeks, probably the last month, basically. There have been lots of news, lots of headlines, but one of them that the press gave a lot of attention to, and we've talked quite a bit about it in the office, is Prince Harry wanting to step back from performing royal duties. I don't know what you think about the royals or what you think about Harry and Meghan. But there's a big thing, a big issue about him deciding, for the safety and protection of his family, he wanted to step back from royal duties. You say, well, that doesn't really affect me. I mean, I've got lots of more pressing things to consider in my day-to-day roles. I'm a full-time carer, I'm a nurse, I'm a radio broadcaster, I'm a HR director, I'm a commercial account executive, I'm a teacher, I'm an assistant teacher, I'm a nurse, I'm a poet, a writer, I work with children, I'm a chair of a local school. What does that have to do with me? I've got more important, pressing things to do than consider someone who wants to step back from royal duties. Put that in the back of your mind. We're going to come back and think about it later. But first of all, we're going to read today's passage, which is found, this one, it's found elsewhere, but it's found in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 5 to 14. It's become known as the Lord's Prayer. But in reality, it's not the Lord's Prayer. Because the disciples actually came to Jesus and said, "Teach us how to pray." And he gave us this prayer. So in effect, it's the disciples' prayer. And verse 5 says this. Chapter 6, verse 7 says this. "When you pray, don't babble on and on like the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who forgive anything against who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you." We've used the word an awful lot this morning, and the word is Father. And that's how this prayer starts off. Our Father in heaven. Which means if we are a Christian here this morning, we are sons and daughters of the God of the universe. How amazing is that? That we can call the God of the universe Father. And it doesn't matter what storm we go through in our lives, or what sort of Monday morning we have, that doesn't change. He is still our Father. And maybe we need to spend more time considering that. Because if he is our Father and we are his sons or daughters, maybe we should pray in that our identity will only just be clear to me, but to every single one of us, every single person we come in contact with, every single conversation we have, every single action we have, should be lived and done in the light of the fact that we are sons and daughters of the God of the universe, that he is our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, "You are chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession." Puts a big slant on what we consider our little lives, doesn't it? If I go into every day knowing that I am God's very own possession, that I am his son, his daughter, and how I live should reflect that. shouldn't it? We have a Father who is in heaven. Not just any Father, because it goes on to say, hallowed be your name. Or as the New Living Translation puts it, let your name be kept holy. Our life is all about Him, or it should be. He has brought us into His purposes. Amazing that it may be. But sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking we're bringing Him into our purposes. Whereas in effect, He's brought us into His purposes. He calls us to His way of doing things. We don't call Him to our way of doing things. Our lives should be all for His glory. His name is holy. And if we are His sons and daughters, 1 Peter 1:15 says this, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. I wonder, do you look like your father? If you see a picture of my father, or you see me with my dad, you cannot be mistaken that I am his son. We have certain connections. That one being one of them. These being another of them. And probably a characteristic. Likewise, our father's character should be evidence in us. Ever heard the expression, he's got his dad's eyes? If we had our father's eyes, wouldn't that make a lot more difference in our lives? The way I see you and the way you see me. If we had our father's eyes. He calls us to be holy because He is holy. And as His sons and daughters, the character should be there. It goes on to say, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a very well-known prayer. And sometimes we lose the power of it because it is so well known. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who's on earth? I am. So when I pray that prayer, I am actually praying that God's will might be done in my life as it is in heaven. That's a very scary thing to pray. If I really mean it. His will be done not only in my life, but in the lives of those I contact, I meet day to day, in the lives of this town, in the life of this country, in this life of this world. Let your will be done as it is in heaven. Do I see that? Should I see that? 1 Peter 4 verse 2 says this. 1 Peter 4 verse 2 says this. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. His will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. in my life, let your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. That's probably lost its power because we have so much in this country. That I know there's always food there. So it lessens its power, and therefore it lessens my reliance on God. There should be no such thing as a self-sufficient Christian. That shouldn't happen. Because no matter what it says, give us this day our daily bread. The strength we need, the support we need, the comfort we need, the wisdom we need, the guidance we need, doesn't come from here, from himself. It comes from there. And it is available for every single one of us for every single day. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what you have to face. Philippians 4:19 says this, "My God will supply all your need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." There is no limit to God's riches. There is no limit to the riches that are available to me and to you. Our need will never be too big for God. But we have to ask that need to be supplied. Rather than try and do what we can, work through it, do our best, and then when that fails, we go to God. I haven't got a clue what tomorrow morning is going to bring. I haven't got a clue what the next 5 minutes are going to bring. We're going to get to the end. It's okay. Don't worry. But I can't rely on that. It is so uncertain. How many things have changed in this past week? How many things? How many things in the last year we thought we knew what was going to happen, and it just hasn't? Something completely different has happened. And if I mind my plans on what I thought was certain, I'm going to end up disappointed. But if I make my plans on the one who is certain, I will never be disappointed. But we need to come to him, admitting our need, admitting that we are completely and totally and utterly reliant on him. Because then he will meet that need. And then he goes on to say, "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." This is so easy, isn't it? Forgiveness is such an easy thing to talk about. I'll let you into a secret. I am not perfect and neither are you. When you get two people that aren't perfect, things that are imperfect happen. It's a fact. When I was young, the church I was taken to, and the church I actually grew up in the end, had this phrase, "Keep short accounts with God." Have you heard that one? Keep short accounts with God. It basically means don't let things go on and go on and go on and get bigger and bigger and bigger. We need to keep things. We need to deal with those things with God quickly. We need to confess and seek forgiveness, because if we don't, our relationship with God is hindered, our relationship with others is hindered, and we ultimately damage ourselves. Have you ever tried to hold a hedgehog? I haven't in my life. It's one of those things on my bucket list. But it will go into a ball, won't it? You try and pick that up, and it hurts. You keep holding it, and it continues to hurt. The only thing that stops it hurting is when you put it down. Unforgiveness hurts. It damages. It's painful. And the only time we're released from that pain is when we put it down. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We are quite good as human beings as bearing grudges, of holding things in. And yet, just because we hold them and things in, it doesn't mean that it's overlooked or has no effect or it's okay after a few years. Unforgiveness needs to be dealt with because it is so, so damaging. And it affects every single one of us. Colossians 3:13 says this: the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Forgiveness is not optional. You can't opt in or opt out. As God forgave you, think about that. As God forgave you. There was in the Gospels, there's a lady who came to Jesus. And she knelt at his feet and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And the good people who were there were horrified. And Jesus said, I've got something to say to you. This woman has been forgiven because she loved much. She knew how much she had been forgiven, and so she loved much. Maybe each day we should start with appreciating how much we have been forgiven, because that will really affect how we live our lives on our front lines. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's one thing we need to say here. God does not lead us into temptation. He can't do that. He can test us, but he can't lead us into temptation. The New Living Translation, I think, puts it really nice. Let us not yield to temptation. Which basically says, let us not say yes to temptation. Temptation is all around us. One of the biggest temptations is to be confident in our own abilities. One of the biggest temptations. But if we're honest with ourselves, there's not much to be confident in if we're looking at ourselves. If we're confident in ourselves, when temptation comes, we will fail. It's a fact. The devil will come to us, it says, like a roaring lion. I know what to do with a roaring lion. I run. It's as simple as that. But it also says the devil may come to us disguised as an angel of light. He can fool me with his disguise. And if I'm confident in my own abilities, I will fall. and I will fail. I need to be confident, not in myself, but in Him, the one who can meet my need and is willing to meet my need, the one who can protect me, the one who can keep me, the one who is holy. As I was reading some of the notes about Frontline Sundays, it says this about this right in the end. There is an enemy who wants to seduce us away from the ways of the kingdom. And so times of testing will come. And here we are called upon to pray for protection and deliverance. We don't go onto our front lines alone, but the powerful, protecting, life-giving presence of God is with us. Serving God on our front lines is not about trying harder. It's about learning to allow the resurrection power of God to work in and through our lives as we embrace the things that God has asked us to do. But it begins with a clear sense of our identity. The fact that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Let's go back to the piece of paper you wrote some things on. And there's a job title, there's a description of your front line, and then you drop down, left a few lines, and in them you wrote your job description. In that gap, I want you to write this. If you're a man, I want you to write, I am a son of the living God who is. If you're a female, I want you to write, I am the daughter of the living God who is. So therefore, my job description becomes, I am the son of the living God who is a commercial account executive, who is a HR director, who is a poet writer, who is a nurse. Now tell me, what difference does that make to your job description? It makes an awful lot of difference when we are no longer just an insurance broker or just a full-time carer or just a teacher. I am a child of the living God who is an insurance broker. It makes the world of difference in how I see this. We're going to watch the video now, and then there's a couple of slides with the prayer afterwards, when we'll just do a little bit to top and tail, and then we'll hand back to John. So, Matt, video.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honor it is
to work within your plan.
You know.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Served.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
Found in you.
My work cannot win this gift from you.
Okay, right. The next two slides are actually a prayer for us, a dedication in effect. If you'd like to stand while we pray this together. Says this, thank you, Father God, for your amazing grace expressed to us in Jesus Christ. May we increasingly know the breadth and depth of your love for us as your Spirit roots this truth in us through our daily lives. As we are scattered this week, we pray that you will shape us in the likeness of Christ, for we are your handiwork, created to bring you joy and to be the people in the world. Amen. Okay, if you have a seat before I hand back over to John. Let's go back to the start. Have a seat. Our Father. I don't know what example of a father you had. Maybe you had a great father. Maybe you had a distant father. Someone who's there but wasn't really there. Maybe you had a tough, undisciplined father. Or maybe you had an unknown father. You don't even know your father. No matter what, as Christians, we have a good, good Father. Now, this time last year, I was admitted to hospital with severe malnutrition. Look at me now.
Hallelujah.
So my front line, instead of an office, became a hospital ward. But the fact didn't change that no matter what my front line was or where it was or how it differed to what I was expecting, the fact didn't change that I was still I was still a son of the Heavenly Father. Who is a good, good Father. And I hand over to John. But at the back, there's some take-homes for you, for each one of us. For to take home and put somewhere where you will continually or always see it. It reminds us who we are.